power of my power, vision of my days, and wisdom of my heart. Stay with me now as I preach your word, and as we listen to your message for us today. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Somewhere I read that baby eagles do not necessarily want to learn how to fly. They're very content sometimes to just stay in the nest and just do what they do, whatever they do, and dine, accept food from whatever it is that mom and dad eagles bring them. But there comes a time when the mother eagle decides that she's had enough of this, and that lifestyle has to go, and the baby eagles are now big enough to fly and hunt on their own. And in order to get them out of the nest, what I read was that the mother eagle would teach her children how to fly, and she demonstrates this through doing their own takeoff and landing. Reminds me about that plane that landed in the wrong way in San Francisco. But the takeoff and landing, and then he flies around the nest and then demonstrates some of these basic flight techniques. And then, when that happens, and they would learn, this one was new to me, the mother eagle literally pushes the little eagle out of the nest. And as they fall towards the earth, they either spread their wings to fly, or they meet their impending death. The gospel story of today tells us of a similar time in the life of Jesus and his disciples. The time has come in their faith walk with Jesus when they needed to spread their wings and fly and do what Jesus does. They've been around for a long time, at least 3 years, we are told. They've heard the message over and over again. They've watched Jesus preach. They've watched Jesus heal and perform miracles before their eyes. Now Jesus sends them out to go ahead of him and prepare the way, doing the same thing that they've been doing all along. Scripture says that Jesus sends out the 70. Other accounts say 72. 70 or 72, they were sent out with specific instructions. And together let us look at what those instructions are. And perhaps we can figure a way to relate it to our own lives, whether those instructions work in the 21st century. The first instruction is that they should go in pairs, that they shouldn't go it alone. Now, you can either take that literally, that the Jehovah's Witnesses and the Mormons take that literally, that they literally go two by two. And you take that symbolically and say what Jesus really meant was don't go alone. So whether you go by twos, by threes, or fours, it doesn't really matter. But the main message is, this is not for lone rangers. The point of the fact is that ministry is never meant to be a one-woman or a one-man show. And Jesus always calls us together into community, in the household of faith. However we call that household, whether we call it church or congregation or people of God, as they say today, it's always that we do things together. And the world and the forces of evil will destroy us easily if we do it alone. But together, like the 72, we may have a better chance to overcome what the gospel speaks of as the demonic forces of evil that are present in the world today. So everyone, brothers and sisters, holding each other accountable is what encourages faith. Where does that come from? We have a bird got up in there somewhere? Alright. Welcome to the congregation of Queen Street East. It's not an eagle, that's for sure, right? A flutter of angels. The reading also says that we enter His Word as lambs in the midst of wolves. Those are straight words from the Gospel. There is a great risk going alone with the adversary, even greater if you are a lamb among wolves. Only when a shepherd is with the lambs and with the sheep are they safe from the wolves. But when the leader, the shepherd, is not around, they're even more vulnerable. So we can say, only when our lives are held firmly in the love of God, in the hands of God, are we able to enter that world with any kind of confidence. Like we sang, only when God is our vision, our wisdom, and our breastplate, do we even stand a chance to be able to get out there, to reach people and change lives. God's presence is where we draw strength. And that strength is available every time we seek it, as we said also in the first hymn. That strength is available to meet adversity, however adversity comes into our lives uninvited. It is there. So it seems like the wisdom, if any, of the New Gospel, the Gospel and the New Testament is saying that you're never meant to take on life by yourself. It never says it or writes it that you're on your own and that you have to handle your burdens by yourself. God wants to be part of that. God wants to be there with us. Jesus told His followers that they were to become people of peace. And we get that in that statement. Whenever you go into a new city, you go to a new home, the first thing that you say is, peace be to this house. And if there's a person of peace who is there, that person will receive it. And if there's no one there to receive it, and if you are rejected, then that peace will just come back to you. They were to cast out demons and heal the sick. And to everyone they were to say and proclaim, the kingdom of God is here. And that's why all of these things are happening. So what does that mean in a new context like today? It means being prepared to stand up for your faith when challenged. I wonder if you've had experience of telling you, why are you going to Queenie's every Sunday to attend church? Why are you doing that? Why are you devoting? And I know that all of you are devoting more than an hour. Because some of you come from far places. You have to travel to get here and you have to travel to get back. Why are you using up all of that time which can be given for something else just to be in church? Prepare to stand up for your faith. In other words, know what to say when people ask you, why are you even a Christian? How do you become a Christian? Why do you gather with that community? And those sent out on that first mission were to proclaim to everybody they met that the reason they did that is because they have been touched and met by a God who loves them. That is their message. So what difference does it make? Whether you have a God or not have a God, whether you pray or not pray, what has been your experience of God in your own life, this week or last week or the week before that? The disciples of Jesus were invited to share that story. If nothing else, to just say, well, this is how it was for me. Some weeks back, Gene Forrest lent me a book called The Blood Sugar Solution, because I was watching my blood sugar. And I read that book, and the book had a program for 6 weeks, and I followed that program. And then, after following the program, I reported to Gene this morning, just before church, that I know that it works, that the program has led me to lose 20 pounds, that the program has led me to understand food in a different way. And what the author was saying is you don't need the medicine. Food is your medicine. If you understand and become more conscious of whatever it is you put inside your mouth, if you become more intentional and more concerned about when to eat and how much to eat and what to eat, So then I said, if I'm going to talk to people who have issues with their blood sugar, I can stand up and witness to that. But all I can really say is, this is what's true for me. All I can really say is, this is what it did for me. I can't really say that the blood sugar solution will work for everyone. But I can stand firmly on my experience. And this is the same thing that Jesus is saying. You don't have to have all this big theology stuff. The most that you can say with utmost credibility is, this is my experience of God in my life. That is what I share. That is what I stand on. And I stand on that because I experienced it for myself. The disciples of Jesus were encouraged to just share what they have seen, what they have heard, what they have experienced. And that God's love has done something in their lives. And when we're true to that, when we're true to following God's direction, we can boldly proclaim it to those around us. The other piece that is of interest to us was reading this text, and which is the title of my sermon this morning, is the advice, or you might say the command, that says, take nothing with you. That's a powerful statement. No Bible verse. Think about it. Every time that we go, whether it's going to the cottage, or going to a different country, or going to a different province, how much do we carry? Lots of stuff. I mean, look at your verses right now. They're only going to church. Somebody did an experiment and asked people in church, open your verses, look in there. And some people were surprised to see things that they didn't even know was there. Take nothing with you. What it's saying is that the only thing that you really need, as far as Jesus is concerned, is the experience of God that we're talking about. That is all you need. And if you have that, you've got everything that you need. The rest, as we sang also, if you seek the kingdom of God, all the rest shall be added unto you. He also talked about self-righteousness. When the disciples came and saying, it's cool. You know, even the demons are now following our word. Jesus says, when things go great, it is easy to become self-righteous and proud. And we all know how that sounds like. The cure to self-righteousness is not just humility, nor is it denying or avoiding what God has done through us. The cure, he says, is to focus on God's grace and try to understand how that works. What do these words, God loves you, God forgives you, God saves you, mean for you? And that is the greatest news that we have. That is the gospel that we share, and it is the only gospel that we ever need to hear. Now that was the only thing, if you remember, I don't know, Brian, I think it's about 2 Sundays ago. That is the only thing that we told to this young man who spray painted our church. He was told by the court, it all depends now on Queenie. If Queenie says you gotta pay, you gotta pay. But Queenie says, we're going to forgive you. We wrote a letter to that. You mailed it. You know, and I hope by this time it's probably been received by the court, a college court. All that he's saying is, God loves you, God forgives you, God saves you. And therefore, our congregation at Queenie's doing exactly the same. We love you, we forgive you, we save you. The reading is an indictment of people who say they can do religion by themselves. People who say, I don't need church. You know why? I can pray anywhere I like. I can pray anytime I like. I don't need somebody to tell me what's true. I'll find that out for myself. As elegant as that sounds, that's not the way it works. Christianity is a community religion. It's a personal religion, but it is not a private religion. It is meant for all. It's not a case of Jesus loves me and I love Jesus and that's it. It isn't. Jesus loves us. Not just you. Like in July 4th, they said, people are singing, God save America. And somebody put on Facebook, God save America. As God saves every other nation in the world. Not just America. So Christianity is this community religion. And Jesus himself didn't say, love me, love Jesus. What Jesus said was, love your neighbor as you love yourself. And whatever you do to the least of these, that you do to me. So if this is going to work for us, we need to get to the program stated in the gospel today. And Jesus has spelled it out for us once again. Take nothing with you means don't let anything get in the way of you doing what God calls you to do. Don't let anything get in the way. Whatever it is that gets in the way, you should. If you succeed at what you do, Jesus said, don't let it get into your head. Remember that you are a part of the kingdom of God. This is not about getting rewarded in some kind of heaven. This is about experiencing heaven in the way that we live for others. Third, work in teams, whether that be 2, 3, 4. Why? Because when somebody falters, the others can hold that person up. When one is discouraged, another member of the congregation can encourage that person. When one is weak, another person can be strong. And remember that we're always stronger when we're together than when we're alone. Fourth, Jesus says you're going to run up with some opposition. It's not going to be a walk in the park. You will be like lambs among wolves. Be ready for it. Take nothing with you means that the love of God is all that we need and all that we need as far as it goes. But Jesus says when you're hated, love. When people talk bad about you, love. When they spit on your face, love. When they put you in prison, love. And that's what Christians are doing and have been doing for centuries. Just this week, there was a Coptic priest that you may have read in the papers. This Coptic priest in Egypt, where there's trouble again right now. And they took him out of his car and they shot him, peppered him actually with bullets right in front of everybody else. Done by the Islamic fundamentalists who are causing some trouble in Egypt today. And Christians have been persecuted in Egypt for a long, long time. By persecuted, I mean actually killed. Churches being either bombed, burned, and ministers and pastors and congregation being shot. When you come into a home, speak peace. If you meet a person on the street, speak peace. If they are people of peace, they will receive your blessing. If not, the blessing returns to you. Imagine if every one of us, and there's at least 30 to 35 of us on any given Sunday at Queenie, if every one of us did that and became people of peace as we walked around and as we related, imagine how powerful and how transforming that can be. Imagine how it will be if everything that happens in your life, you only have one and only one response, and that is your respond in love from wherever it's coming from in you, and how that can touch the lives of communities. I will close with the words of a Spanish mystic, her name is Teresa of Avila, which I think says everything that we've been talking about the last few minutes so well. It says, Jesus has no body, no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Yours are the eyes with which he looks, compassion on this world. Yours are the feet with which to do good. Yours are the hands with which He blesses everyone. You are the hands. You are the feet. You are the eyes. You are His body. Jesus has no body but yours. No hands, no feet on earth but yours. Let us remember that as we go out in the world today. Amen. Let us pray. Thank you for reminding us, O God, that we are your body in the world, that we are your eyes and your hands and your feet. We pray that as a congregation, as a community faithful to you, O God, that you will make us that in the communities, the workplaces that we live in. Let us now call out the names of people who are in special struggle today, especially the families of the 300 or so passengers of the Asiana flight that crashed on San Francisco Airport, those affected by the train that blew up in Quebec, those in Alberta who have now experienced another flood and seem to have no end to their troubles. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Please call out the names of people for whom you want to offer God's vision, God's wisdom, and God's breastplate today. For members of our congregation, O Lord, who are struggling with health issues, those who are in bed, those who are struggling with issues of finances, our jobs, our relationships. We also pray for those who are on holiday, those who are in travel, that you will keep them safe, O God. Those who are not here with us today, we pray for your blessing upon them on this Sunday. We lift this up to you, and we call on you to be with us, a faithful God, who graces our lives every moment of every day, and who calls us out to be the same to the people that live. In the name of Jesus, we pray.